with me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. His hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thine hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis my God that me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. By his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. For by his hand he leadeth me.
Amen. Thank you, men. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of James, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. That is in the New Testament. You high school students, New Testament follows the Old Testament. All right, James chapter 1. Stand if you will, and we'll begin to read in verse number 16 and read the remainder of this chapter. And my, what a great warning given to us in verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Good Christians can go wrong. Good teenagers can mess up. Faithful workers can blow it. A warning, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Now, that means if you lose your temper and your wrath is revealed, it is not portraying Jesus Christ. It is not showing Holy Spirit leadership and control. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Filthiness, that which is immoral, ungodly, that which pollutes your mind and your testimony, and superfluity of naughtiness. Evidently, the people were not just foolish and carnal. Evidently, they had a problem with sin and wickedness. That superfluity of naughtiness means overflowing with wickedness. Overflowing with wickedness. Like a fountain that continually flows with corrupt waters. Wherefore, lay aside or lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now may I say to you, filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness cannot coexist with the Word of God. The Word of God reveals our sin and brings conviction of sin. We've got to either stand against our sin or stand against God, one or the other. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own souls or your own selves. He's saying if you come to church and Sunday school and you hear the word of God taught, and you go out and live wickedly or contrary to the word of God, you're a fool. You've deceived your own self. You're not pleasing to God. You're not living as a Christian. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of person he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the word of God, and continueth therein he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I want you to go back and look at verse 23 and 24. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject: what do we see when we look into God's mirror? I promise you every person in here spent some time before a mirror today. Combing your hair, ladies fixing your face, doing your eyes, putting your lips on. Sounds like you're not much until you get to the mirror. Take everything out of a box and put it on. Put my lips on. But it's not just the ladies. Brother Morris, you spent a lot of time combing your hair in front of the mirror this morning, didn't you? But the truth is, we all look into the mirror every day. I wish it could be said that every one of us looks into God's mirror every day. This is God's mirror. The Word of God. It's amazing when we look into the mirror, our mirror in our dressing room or bathroom, sometimes we don't really see what we see. We see what we want to see. But if you're a child of God, when you look into God's mirror, God's Word, it's the Holy Spirit's job to make sure He reveals to you what God sees. how God sees you. It'd be a wonderful thing for every one of us to come to the place where we see ourselves in God's mirror as God sees us. What do you see when you look into the mirror of God's Word? That's what I want us to think about. And I don't want you to think of it in light of, I wonder what old so-and-so sees when they look in. I want you to look at it personally. What do I see when I look into the Word of God? The Word of God either comforts and confirms, or it convicts and reveals. What do you see when you look into the Word of God? I suggest to you that some of you look into the mirror in your dressing room more frequently than you look into the mirror of the Word of God. And it would be good if we could all get an image of what God sees when He looks at us. When you read the Word of God, are you blessed or blistered? Are you comforted or convicted? Are you encouraged? Or do you feel God's disapproval in the areas of your life? May God help us to look at the Word and in the Word and honestly see ourselves. And tonight, I want to share with you what God would like for us to see about ourselves and what we ought to see about ourselves when we look into the mirror. Father, help me tonight to be a blessing to our people. Here we are starting a brand new year. And I'm preaching some very basic sermons on Wednesday night, Sunday night, to try to help us as Christians to get off to a good start and to get to thinking right and doing right and living right and not taking our walk with God for granted. Now, Lord, here in the service tonight are some of the best Christians who are members of our church. They're here on Sunday night, and they're here on Wednesday night. And they love you. And they love your church. But Lord, none of us are perfect. We all struggle in areas. And as we look into the mirror of the Word of God, you reveal to us the areas, the spiritual blemishes in our life. And Lord, the truth is, we can't cover them up, and we shouldn't. But they should be put under the blood of Jesus and dealt with so we can go on and live victoriously for you. Help me tonight in Jesus' name. Help me to be a blessing to people I love very much. For it's in Christ's name I ask it, amen. You may be seated. You know, the Word of God refers to itself by many different names as you read it. For instance, it's referred to as milk in some places, other places as bread, some places as meat, other places as water. Some places the Word of God is referred to as a fire, another place a hammer, another place it's called a sword. And in our scripture tonight, it's referred to as a mirror or looking glass. Now, in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, the wilderness tabernacle, there was the second piece of furniture you would see as you walk in the outer enclosure. The first piece was the brass altar, picture of Calvary. The second piece is the brass laver, the brazen laver. And that's a picture of the Word of God. The brass laver was polished brass. And it had a little dish in it that was filled with water. And there the priest would go to the laver and would cleanse himself before he'd offer sacrifices or before he'd go into the holy place to offer incense on the golden altar. As he stood there at the brass altar and looked down into the water, he could see his reflection. Reflected from the water and from the polished brass, he could see the smut on his face from the brass altar where he'd been offering sacrifices. He could see blood that had sprinkled on him. He could see dirt that might be on him. And there, it was revealed when he looked into that laver and he'd take the water and he'd cleanse himself and get ready to go in and offer the incense or offer the sacrifices. In our scripture, the Word of God in James is referred to as a mirror or looking glass. Now, we use a looking glass, a mirror, to see a reflection of ourselves. Now, very few people use it to send sign language. Reflect the sun and you know, that's not what we use. We use it to see ourselves. Or when it's associated with an automobile, a truck, or bus, we use it to see what's behind us or around us. And may I say to you that the Word of God, the mirror of God that we're to use and look into is used for the same purpose. It helps us to see the real reflection of ourselves as God sees it. I'll be honest with you. I look into the Word of God and I read the commandments and I don't stand up and beat my chest and say how righteous I am. I feel convicted. I see myself as a sinner. And oh, how much I thank God for the Savior who loved me and gave Himself for me. But it also shows me what's around me. As I look into the Word of God reflects the true image of what's going on around me. I see it tells me about the sin and what's not sin, what's right and wrong, what's questionable, what I should be avoiding and what I should be involved in. The Word of God helps us to see those dangers around us. Now, what do you see when you look into the mirror of God's Word? I hope you don't look into the mirror and read when it talks about the carnal Christian. Say, yeah, that reminds me of old sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. Boy, if you're using the Bible like that, you're not getting much out of it. The truth is, if you'll be honest, the Holy Spirit will help you see yourself. And oh, that's when the Bible becomes of great value to our personal growth and our personal life. When we see ourselves and our needs in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal the real you. And one of the ways He does that is as we read the Word of God, He'll use passages and statements and verses and principles taught in the Word of God to bring conviction to our heart or encourage us for doing right. Have you ever read the Word of God and said, yeah, man, I'm doing that? Well, don't get too proud of it. But we don't always appear to God or to others as we think we do. Surprise, surprise. God does not always look at our life and say, yeah, spiritual. He looked at the carnal, at the Christians in Corinth and said, carnal, baby. What do you see when you look into the Word of God? What do you see about yourself? And what I'm trying to do tonight is not accuse anybody, but try to encourage you to be honest about who you are and what you are. It's not important that we be Baptist and be able to say, I am a Baptist. This is what I believe. It's important that we know what we are. That we are what we say we are, and we are what God wants us to be in our Christian life. What do you see when you look into God's mirror? That's what James is talking about in verse 22, 23, and 24. I want to share with you tonight, very quickly, four or five, maybe six thoughts that I see right here in the scripture that we've read that God tells us what we ought to see. First of all, when we look into the mirror of the Word of God, we ought to see a disciplined Christian life. I'm talking about our own life. a disciplined Christian life. Notice in verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Say, what's that talking about? Talking about a man who's not under self-control, but under Holy Spirit control. A disciplined life. One that is submissive to God. One that's not out of control. I remember years and years ago, a comedian by the name of Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Well, I hear people all the time say, the devil made me do it, or I couldn't help it. Well, I'm telling you, what they're saying is my life is so undisciplined and not controlled by the Spirit, the devil can have his way in my life. And may I say to you that a lot of things we blame on the devil is not the devil at all, it's just undisciplined flesh. What God would like to, for us to see when we look into the Word of God is a personal life that is disciplined, a Christian that is living a disciplined Christian life. Now the Bible says if we're going to be His disciples and follow Him, the first thing we've got to do is deny ourselves, then take up our cross and follow Jesus. That's talking about discipline before service. Discipline before service. Let me ask you a question. How many things in the Bible that God plainly teaches us is wrong that you willfully ignore and practice? Well, preacher, I have a lustful spirit and I willfully feed it. God forbid. Maybe I've got a gossiping mouth and I willfully use it. God forbid. Maybe I dress immodest, or I'm a man dressing effeminately. God help us. When we look into the Word of God, it ought to reveal to us a disciplined Christian life as we look in the mirror. Now, I can't read the Scripture and read those things that I don't do without being convicted. And if you're saved, the same one who lives in me lives in you, and it's his job to do convicting, to bring about conviction in our life. We should see a disciplined Christian life. You know what a Christian discipline, a disciplined Christian life is? It's one that's got his spirit under control, mouth under control, his life under control. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean you never mess up. Means you get Sunday school on time, not perpetually late. Means if you're a Sunday school teacher, you get here 30 minutes early. Woo. By the way, on that Sunday school goal sheet, it said that all of our Sunday school teachers be here for prayer meeting at 9:45. That's when prayer meeting ends. If you're here at 9:45, you've missed it. You need to get here at 9:30. 9:45, you've already got people in the classroom. A disciplined life. When I look into the mirror, God would like for me as a Christian to see a personally disciplined Christian life. One that is disciplined, that is a disciple, a follower of Jesus and His Word. Secondly, we look into the mirror of the Word of God. God would have us see a Christian striving after holiness. A Christian striving after holiness. Now, don't paint holiness as an ugly word. It is a Bible word. It is describing a characteristic of God. He is holy. And He said, be ye holy as I am holy. What that means is that God would have us to live God-like lives. You say, but I can't be God. God's not asking you to be God. He's just asking you to resemble Him. My daughters aren't me, but they resemble me. I'm not my father, but I resemble my father. And you can't be God, but we should resemble Him. After all, that's what the word Christian means, Christ-likeness. Look at verse 20 and 21. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That means to bring you into the family of God. It'd be good that we look like our Father. I know some Christians that don't resemble God in any way, and yet they'll say they're a Christian. They look more like the other fella. When we look into the Word of God, God would like for us to see in ourselves a Christian striving after holiness. Thirdly, when we look into the mirror of the Word of God, He would like for us to see a Christian who is obedient and faithfully serving Him. Obedient and faithfully serving. By the way, it's the will of God for every one of us to serve Him. And He does not want us to serve Him on and off, hot or cold, but to faithfully serve Him. Faithfully serve Him. Look at verse 23. If any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Look at verse 25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, continueth faithfully, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Oh my, God would like for us to look into the Word of God and be able to say, you know, I do that. I practice that. I believe that. Obedient and faithfully serving God. Fourthly, when we look into the mirror of the Word of God, He would have us to see ourselves as a Christian with a tongue under control, the control of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. A person that has an uncontrolled tongue has a real problem telling somebody how much you love Jesus and how important Jesus is in your life. And the emphasis here is to let the Holy Spirit control your life. The Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We'll not do what the flesh wants to do. I promise you, it's not the Holy Spirit that wants to talk about people and criticize people and find fault in people. The admonition of verse 26 should make us tremble at our own sin of an uncontrolled tongue. Every honest Christian ought to lay their tongue on the altar and dedicate it to God if you can find an altar long enough. When we look into the Word of God, we should see a Christian with a tongue under the control of the Holy Spirit. A tongue not controlled by the Holy Spirit will criticize others, will find the fault in others, will point out the infirmities and the frailties in others. A tongue under the control of the Holy Spirit will try to help those very people that we were criticizing when we were not under the control of the Spirit. It'll try to strengthen the weak and pick up the fallen and love the unlovely and encourage the discouraged. Well, I appreciate the amens there. Hebrews 13, verse 15, 16 says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." It's talking about the use of the tongue. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now, if the right use of our tongue is offering a sacrifice to God in words, what's the wrong use of our tongue doing? Is it offering a sacrifice to the devil? Listen to the word of God. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Isn't that amazing? The Bible says the wrong use of our tongue reveals a man that has a religion that's vain, that's worthless. The right use of our tongue is accepted by God as a sacrifice unto him. What do you see when you look in the mirror? And then, fifthly, when we look into the mirror of the Word of God, God would like for us to see a Christian with a compassionate heart. A compassionate heart. You know what compassion is? I tell our preacher boys, compassion is feeling the hurt in another person's life. But beyond that, not just feeling it, trying to do something about it. Trying to ease the hurt. When I look into the Word of God, I pray that I can see myself with a compassionate heart. I don't want to be known as hard-hearted and mean and contrary and cantankerous. I'd like to be known as caring about people. Caring about their hurts and trying to help them in their hurts. That's what the ministry is. Helping people for Christ's sake. Allowing God to love others through our lives. And I sure would like for each of us to be able to look into the Word of God and see a compassionate heart. Look at verse 27, the first part of it. "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction." You see the needs of others and you try to do something about it. You feel the hurt in another person's heart and life. I'll be honest with you, I see Christians hurting. It may be the chastening hand of God, and I don't stand back and say, "Yeah, I'll give it to them." I grieve. I don't want to see my family under the chastening hand of God. I don't want to see you under it either. It ought to hurt us when we see people we love hurting and suffering, even if the suffering is the chastening rod of God. We ought to feel the hurt in their life. We ought to feel the hurt in those around us. I'm not just talking about the hungry and the naked and the sick. I'm talking about the lost. The greatest hurt this world knows today is brought about because of the lost condition of men and women and boys and girls without Jesus. God would have us to look into the Word of God and see ourselves as a Christian enough like Jesus to have a compassionate heart. He saw the sheep, the multitudes as sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion, the Scripture says. Now let me finish this up quickly. When we look into the mirror of the Word of God, God would like for us to see a consecrated life. Now, a disciplined life is different than a consecrated life. A disciplined life is under the control of the Holy Spirit. But a consecrated life is a life dedicated for the use of God. You know, there's not a lot of difference between this microphone and one in a honky-tonk tonight being used to sing rock and roll. And I mean, I have no doubt that they use, in many of these places, the very same microphone. No difference, except this was bought with God's money and consecrated to God. If I came in here and saw somebody singing rock and roll or honky-tonk on one of these things, I'd have a fit. Because this building and this microphone's been purchased by God's people with God's money given and dedicated to God and consecrated, dedicated, set apart for His glory and His use. Now, God's not just interested in buildings. He's not just interested in microphones or pianos, organs. You know what God's most interested in? My life and yours. When we look into the mirror of the Word of God, it sure would please God if we could honestly see in the teachings, in the Scripture, a reflection of ourselves, consecrated, set apart unto God for His glory and for His honor. Well, what do you see when you look at yourself in the mirror? Let me suggest that each of us need to learn to judge ourselves by the Word of God. And not by what you think of yourself or want others to think of you. Judge yourself by the Word of God and not by someone who's living a life at a lower standard than you are. That doesn't make us a better Christian, because another Christian is not our standard. Jesus and the Word of God is. So learn to judge yourself by the book, by the Word of God. We are blessed when we accept what the Holy Spirit of God reveals about us as we look into the Word of God. We believe what we see and do what's necessary to bring our lives into agreement with God's Word. We're blessed. We're blessed. What does Psalm 1 say? One of the most familiar Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed is the man, and blessed is the Christian that looks into the Word of God and judges his life by the book. When we see our reflection in the Bible and our life is contrary to the teachings of the Scripture, what a wonderful day it is when we love Christ so much and we believe the book so completely that we deal with our sin so we can get right and be more like Him. What a blessed day it is. Again, let me ask, what do you see when you look at yourself in God's mirror? Do you see a disciplined life? Do you see a life seeking after holiness? Do you see an obedient, serving Christian? Do you see a Christian with a controlled tongue? A Christian with a compassionate heart? Can you see a Christian? Can you see yourself with a consecrated life, a life set apart to God and for God's glory? One last time. What do you see? What do I see when we look into the mirror of the Word of God? Father, would you take the simple Word of God tonight that we've tried to preach, just so simple, it's right there in the Scripture,